I could preach it hard. I might forget this cough drop. It lands out there someplace. We're in the book of St. John, Gospel of John. John the Beloved, chapter 14, but I'm gonna just lightly touch on chapter 13, where it comes into 14. I want to look at, before I get into chapter 14, I want to begin in verse number 21 of chapter 13. You see, Jesus is about to be betrayed. He knows that. And the Bible says he was troubled in spirit and testified and said. So he made it clear that he testified about it, about his being troubled. You say, Jesus being troubled? You can never forget that he is the Son of Man, also the Son of God, but he is the Son of Man. He's in the fleshly body. Everything you feel in the fleshly body, he felt. Every temptation that you feel in the fleshly body, he felt. He said he did. So you realize that certainly he knows what he's facing. And he knows that right around the corner here that he's going to be betrayed and then he's going to be crucified. And so Jesus has prepared his disciples. This is a unusual passage, you might say. He's dealing with the disciples and some of their faults, some of the things they need to know, trying to prepare them. And so he's, and I'm sorry, but I can read it, and I can see maybe how that I can sympathize with the disciples a little bit. Some of the first times I heard or read the Bible, and I didn't understand it. Do you understand the first time you read it? A lot of it was so confusing to me. I didn't get it. I'd read it again, read it again, read it again, read it again. I don't know how many times I read the New Testament through. I've read the Old Testament through a number of times. But I would read, when I was working at a job, I'd read, try to read a book of the New Testament. And some of the shorter ones. But I'll be honest with you, a lot of it was just, that's the way it is with the disciples. They just didn't get it for a while. They didn't really get it. You can read. They didn't really get it until the Holy Spirit entered in at Pentecost. They didn't get it. And they admitted it. But here he is. Jesus is troubled in his spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. He's going to give him a clear, you might say, understanding of just what he's facing. He knew it. But even though he knew it, it was difficult for him to accept that one of the men that had been with him for 3.5 years, that had been in all the ministry, even this guy Judas had been with others when they teamed up 2 by 2 and go out and preach. Judas was involved. He was involved. He went out, preached. Judas was involved in a lot. He was involved and helped to feed the 4,000, the 5,000. He was involved taking the baskets up and all that. He's involved in all of it. So what? Here Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. You wonder why he was sorrowful. I believe if I, you help me, am I wrong? He's not willing that any, I don't understand that. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In my mind, if I had a Judas and I knew it, I don't believe I hope he makes it. But the Lord did. He's that kind. He's that so merciful that he won people saved. Let me go. I got to hurry go through. So he's calling these men in closer, more intimate kind of a relationship here. And these words, he's causing them to understand just what's on his mind, his heart. And he makes them see just what reality is like. Down to 31, he says, Now is the Son of Man glorified. I dealt with this a week ago or so. And God is glorified in him. And showing that now this, when he offers himself up as a sacrifice, it's a glorious thing. It's a terrible thing, but it's a glorious thing. It provides salvation for mankind. Look how many, probably over all these 2,000 some years, I don't know if you can imagine how many people will go to heaven because of the redemptive work, the giving himself for their salvation. Thousands. I heard, I think I was listening to a man the other day, and he says, just think, millions. And probably over all these years it well is in the millions. Probably no doubt that we're saved. And so it's a glorious thing. It's a wondrous thing. You'd say that if it met you, and you'd say it double if it met one of your children, that they were saved. Certainly you'd agree, what a wonderful thing. You'd rejoice with it like the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. My. Let me go. I got to quit. Little children, I like the way he starts. He's so tender and compassionate with him, with these disciples. Little children, verse 33. Then a little while and I'll be with you, and ye shall seek me. He says, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I'm telling you, I say to you. I told them, telling you, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave you. And as far as right now, you can't go with me. He's going to reassure them about this, but he's making them see that it's going to be a time of separation. He's going to leave. He's going to go back to heaven. And I guess he says in verse number 34, new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as if I loved you, that ye also love one another. The reason I want that clear, the reason I want you to obey this, the purpose of the whole thing is that this is going to be what tells people the difference between you and the unsaved. This is what's going to make you a lamp and a light into this world. This is what's going to identify you. You're going to be identified by that love that God puts in a man. When God saves a person, he fills them with his love. It's not the physical love. It's a spiritual love, an agape. It's a spiritual love. Physical love don't last. Physical love a lot of times isn't real. And you know that. You know that. You've met a lot of people you thought loved you. You found out later on they didn't. But that ain't the way it is with agape love, with spiritual love. It lasts. It isn't on and off. He's going to shed his love abroad in our heart. It's not something that you put aside. It's something that becomes a new you. And you are a person that can show the world, a people that can get along with one another regardless. People that love, people that forgive, people that help, people that love at all times. Not sometimes, they love at all times. He that loveth not, does it say knoweth not God? Is that what the Bible says? He that loveth not knoweth not God. He said, I want you to be an instrument while I'm gone. I want you to shed your light. I want the world to know what I did for you. What change I made in your heart. I want them to see the love of God in you. You're my testimony of the redemptive, glorious work of salvation. You change people. You have people that were time before, they can't hardly get along with anybody. People love you one day, hate you the next. Paul said it in Galatians. He says, good night one day, you love me the next day. He says, you want to take my life. He said, before you'd have plucked your eye out for me. Not that way today. And so Jesus is leaving behind some men that he trusts will represent him right. They'll have that. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love, if, rough little word, if ye have love one for another. There's an old song that you used to sing in church. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. And that's true. You have an unforgiving spirit. You can't get along with other people. Just a certain people that you'll identify with and be friendly with or show love to. I don't want to preach on this, but I'm saying to you, it makes a world of difference. What people think is the effect of salvation. How does God's grace affect you? And so it ought to show. It ought to show clearly, shine out, let your light so shine. Let it shine that men may see. And what is it going to do? Glorify the Father which is in heaven. Boy, you really did a work in his life. Oh my, what a changed person he is. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Anybody with me today? At least that's what I read in the Bible. That's what I read. Then, before he gets into chapter 14, he addresses Simon Peter. Simon Peter said, oh, not so, Lord. I'll die for you. I'm not going to allow that to be happen to you. Lord, I'll die for you. Jesus answers him. You need to be careful what you say to the Lord. Because he knows whether you're telling the truth. He knows what you're going to do. A lot of people tell, Lord, I want to accept you as my Savior. I love you. I'll serve you. I'll live for you. Only to see in a short time. The Bible says it's better for them not to know the way than to know the way and turn from it. There's something wrong with this salvation, this transformation that doesn't last. I was telling someone, we was talking this morning, in every Baptist statement of faith. This is the way it used to be. I know it probably changed some now. But in every Baptist statement of faith, they state down what they believe about God and Jesus and the Savior and the Holy Ghost and mankind. The last part of it, the last statements are this, that we believe in the perseverance of the saints. In every Baptist church, that was just the common statement of faith in everyone. They used to believe, the word perseverance also means to endure. Or it means, like you hear me preach a lot about, Jesus said, if you continue in my faith, then are you my disciples. I believe it means the same thing. The Greek word is meno. 3306, I believe, is the number in Strong's Concordance. And it means to continue, to remain. It also means where Jesus said, he that will endure to the end. It means that. It means the same thing. It means to abide. All those things fit in that one word, meno, in the Greek. If you're saved, you'll stick. If you don't stick, it's true that the Bible says they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they'd have been of us, they'd have no doubt continued with us. There's no doubt whatsoever. You don't have to doubt it. You don't have to question it. It should never confuse you. That should not confuse you. It's clear. When they won't stay with the Word of God, when they won't stay in the house of God, when they go out there and play in the world or waller in the world, it's just making clear evidence for you to accept the Bible that they are not saved. People that are saved, I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm not saying they don't have ups and downs sometimes. Though a righteous man falleth 7 times. You know the next part of that verse? Yet he riseth up again and again and again. He don't stay down. He don't stay down. He don't quit. He don't turn his back on God. He stumbles. He stumbles. The Bible calls it. He gets offended. He gets hurt. You'll get up and keep going. You'll keep going. Where am I at? Peter, Jesus had him right. He knew he was just boasting. Didn't mean what he said. He said, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? He asked the question, will you really do that? Then he says, I know better. I know better, Peter. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, the rock, the cock will shall not crow till thou hast denied me 3 times, 3x. I know you mean well, Peter, but you're not sticking with it. He did after Pentecost. Peter didn't. You won't find after Pentecost Peter wavering whatsoever. He don't go fishing no more. He don't waver in his faith. He don't question God. He don't doubt. Steady as you go. Jesus told him that he was going to be crucified. Just like Jesus told him he's going to be crucified upside down. He didn't want to be crucified right side up. That's what they say. That's what history says. But Peter never, never faltered one bit after Pentecost. At Pentecost, he was empowered by the Holy Ghost of God and preached the first great message to where thousands were saved. Peter, I knew you meant well. Well, let's look for a while at probably one of the most famous chapters in the Bible. It deals with the way the Lord was really trying to encourage, to help these men, to prepare them for his departure, to kind of let them know where they stand. He knows where they're at and what he wants them to be, he desires for them to be. That's what the Bible deals with, it. Desire, God's desire for you to live up to the word, to stay strong and true. Do you think we could say, God, you can depend on me? You can trust me. You can trust me. Can you imagine? Can you say that? Lord, no matter what you want me to do, no matter what you say, no matter what come, you can trust me. I think it's in that song. I'll go with you, all the way. Is that the way the song goes? I'll go with you all the way. Well, chapter 14, really this is the insert of Jesus dealing with things. Here we've talked about he's been, Judas has betrayed him. And now we go into chapter 14 through 17. 14, 15, 16, and 17 is the high priestly prayer. You won't find them in the other books of the Bible, other gospels. He deals with some things here. You won't find chapter 15 in any other part. Strong, dealing with the vine. Chapter 17 deals with this high priestly prayer. And so each one is particular and special, and it's kind of spaced in between when he is, Judas betrayed him, and when he goes to the cross. And so they're an unusual chapter, so I'm trust the Lord to help us with them. Here he's in chapter 14, he's dealing with the disciples, and these are such beautiful words. We sing the song, Beautiful Words, Wonderful Words, Wonderful Words of Christ. This part of scripture is used in funerals a lot. A lot of times they'll pick this for a funeral. And just to encourage, a lot of times they ought not say that and you know, make it imply like everybody that dies is going, but a lot of times it's used. But it's a very tender, compassionate, informative passage of scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? You believe in the Father? You can trust me. I know you men. I know you men know all about the Father. That's all you heard from the prophets, all the way through the prophets. You heard about the Father. You didn't hear about me. I come on the scene, and I know a lot of things that they think I'm different. I'm not different from the Father. I'm not different from the Father. He even tells him, he says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He tells me, I am the way, the truth, the life. He lets them know that you believe in God. That's wonderful. But I want you to have faith in me too. I want you to trust me with the same faith, the same trust you have in God the Father, to have in me. We're no different. We're exactly the same. You need to have the same faith in me that you got in the Father. Don't try to separate us. And there's folks, there's churches, that their whole doctrine is Jesus only. There's men, as I've told you, that's wrote commentaries about God in the Old Testament. And that one Methodist bishop said, he's nothing but a dirty old bully. Said that about God the Father. Now, I know you don't hear those things. You don't study a lot of these things. But I'm telling you that a lot of people didn't respect God because of his way he dealt with Israel and dealt with the enemies of Israel. They classified Jesus as being more peaceful, loving, softer. That's a lie. That's not true. He's the same yesterday, and today, and forever. He don't change, and he's just like the Father. Let your heart not be troubled. Be not troubled. Be you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And there's no sense of me really dealing with that in a way of trying to describe it. The word mansion has a lot of different meanings to it. It can mean a vast space in the universe. It could also mean, let's see, what is that city that's going to come down? I think that's where we're going to live. I don't think we're going to live up where he is now in heaven. There's a city that's four square that's going to come down from heaven, and it's going to be all prepared. It won't have electricity. It won't have all the things of this world that can break down and give you a hard time. God's perfect, and everything he designs is perfect. And so it's going to be, and I don't want to get into it today. I want to keep going because I got some few words I want to say. That ain't the right time, is it? Is the right time 11:30 now? I think. I've lost my time. I didn't realize I was going so slow. Let me just dip into this, and I said something earlier, and I read a passage of Scripture. He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, he says, I will come again. He didn't leave them hopeless. He didn't leave them doubting. He didn't leave them confused. He gives them a prophecy and a guarantee. If I go, I'll return. I promise you that. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, we're going to live together in all eternity. You heard me read earlier on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5. Read about the rapture. Read about the coming. Read about how that really we should know and understand some of it. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says it'll be like a twinkling of an eye. I thought, I look at that word twinkling, and you'll see wink in it. Twinkling. Wink's in there. And I said, well, that's probably about close to what they're talking about. All the way through, it talks about in 1 Thessalonians 2 and other places. In Corinthians, it talks about a thief. He comes unnoticed. You're not aware. And he robs you. He's called a thief because he's going to take some that's close to you. He's going to rob you of some choice things. And I'll close with this. You look with me over to Matthew 24. I wanted to deal with this in depth for a good while, but I won't. Notice in Matthew 24 and verse number 39. He talks about him earlier as like the days of Noah. Talks about the way most people live, eating, drinking, marrying, just going on their way, just living a life like they'll live forever. They're never going to die. Everything will be all right. Don't worry. You know, have fun. You might as well enjoy life while you can. There'll always be a chance later on for you to get right. So just live it up. Verse 39, and what does it say? And knew not. They didn't have the slightest idea, inclination, experience, knowledge. They didn't have a thought about the world ending. This dispensation ending didn't cross their mind. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. He's making the comparison. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It'll be just like the days of the flood. What was it like in the days of flood? They would not listen to preaching. They would not respond to preaching. They mocked preaching. Old Noah preached 100 years to him without a convert except for his sons and their wives. 100 years. The Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. A preacher of righteousness. And nobody accepted him. Nobody believed him. Nobody trusted him. Nobody raised their hand. Nobody said amen. I think it helps me more to read that and study that part of what happened, how that they rejected it. Helps me. It's I didn't write this Bible and I didn't make these things up, but he said it's going to be just like that in the olden days. And before he comes, they're going to know not and they care not. They don't care what you say. They're going to live a while the way they want to live. They're going to live without any thoughts of Christ. They're going to live without any thoughts of possible dying. They're going to live without any thoughts of ever going to hell. If I ask you to raise your hand, do you believe you're going to hell? You know what you do? Say no. Not me. I'm going to get it right one day. Well, that's what these people that know not, they figure they got something that just about nobody, well, the actual moment of it, nobody knows the actual second when it takes place. They think they know, so they just keep going on. Let's move. He said, then shall two be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. You know, I think he's going to have to do something for us. Well, I know he does. I know he does. Because I can't go to heaven in this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No matter what people tell you, that's what the Bible says. You have to have a different body, a celestial body. This body won't make it. That's why the astronauts have to wear all that stuff they wear. All those things, and they're not going to heaven, but just shows you that you couldn't make it out in space. And so, I'm saying that because what if you had your wife beside you or your husband beside you? And one was left. Well, that's why I'm saying, in order for him to do that, he'd have to work on me. And Buddy, it's been a work on me ever since she's left. But I can't imagine. I can't imagine. I'm going to have to realize that I'm being taken up some way. Taken. Transported. Moved. I got to quit. Two shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Then he says, let me give you some counsel and advice. He tells us to watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. The word watch certainly means to be aware, just like it does in Thessalonians, to be conscious of what can happen. You understand what the hour is, the time is. You realize that all the events and prophecies of the Bible are being fulfilled. You're not ignorant about the war in Israel. You're not ignorant about the rising of Russia up to the state and China to where they want to, where they really are kind of competing to see who's the biggest, who's the best, and who will win the rest. There's never been a day like this day. Never been a time like this time. There's never been a time in this world where the people could literally destroy themselves off the earth. Totally destroy this world with atomic weapons. They could do that now. They can do that now. But the Bible says he's going to cut it short so that they don't get a chance to do that. Now, I don't know. I don't understand that. I can't explain that cutting short. But he's saying he's going to have to, or else they'll just destroy themselves. You've heard Russia boasting that they could use their weapons, their atomic weapons. Even the old boy in North Korea now has perfected some supersonic rockets, ballistic missiles, I guess they call them. He loves nothing better to try to aim and right at the cities of America. He loves it. Loves it. I was reading an article or something that showed how they follow that ballistic missile and to where it gets to a certain place, and then they destroy it. I'm closing. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this. Now, here's what I want you to look at, and we'll close. I want you to look good at this verse. But know this, that know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch, if he'd known in what watch, he could have known in what watch. It was available for him to know in what watch. Not particular day, but watch, a period of time when it was going to be real close. The thief would come. He would have watched and would not, read your Bible, he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. You read your Bible? You know that song? Will the family circle be broken? You know that song? That's a reality. This word actually means broken up, like burglarized, where they come in and destroyed it. I'm saying to you, we've all got children that's not ready. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And we're not watching, and we know better. We're not watching, and we know better. We know better. You know as well as I know that there's just that intimacy in the air, in your mind, in the Bible, the Bible conveying the coming of Christ. I'll come again. And he's going to take the saved. He's going to leave the unsaved. They're not going to have a chance. They'll just be left behind. God help us to be awake, aware, conscious, watching our loved ones, watching whether there's a state of readiness in their life, whether they really understand the Bible. I don't believe Noah felt any guilt of not watching. I believe he did his best, 100 years preaching righteousness. Nobody raised their hand. Nobody come. He kept on preaching. Our part, you and I can't. We can't force people to get saved. But we can do our best. We can do our best to try to inform, to make them aware, to make them aware just where we are in this particular day. Somebody needs to tell them this world is just partying. That's what the atmosphere of this world is. Have fun, have fun, have fun. No matter the cost, no matter what. Now the Christian community too. Just about that's what their life is set around. Having fun. Going someplace, seeing, having fun. While their family rots. Their family is ignorant, not aware, not even thinking about. Not even thinking about that they can be left behind. God help us. Shall we stand? You have to. You have to stir up your own self. You have to excite yourself. You've got to move yourself. Holy Spirit of God will help you, but you've got to be initiating it. Have a desire. Have a longing to try to reach people. Have a stirring in yourself. I was up on a roof, and my helper was down handing things up, and I'd have to go run way up there. I was building a thing on top of roof. And I'd read it. I got all excited about the rapture. And I tried to preach to this guy on the ground. I'm up on the roof. I said, it could happen any day. He says, how do you know that? I said, the Bible tells me so. It could happen any day. Any day. Would you reckon they're bloody of failure? Don't want to make somebody mad. It's better if they go to hell. I don't want to make them mad. Not mad at me. God help us to be true. Father, in Jesus' name, I love you and I believe you. I believe you're coming. I believe the time is short. I believe we're here. We talk about it even at the door. I believe it's much closer than that. I believe there's evidence of it that we should be aware of and understand the prophecy unfolding. I believe we should be watching our family, our neighbors, our loved ones, watching them, whether they're getting ready or not. And whatever else we can do, however we can do our part, as the song said, lay some soul upon my heart, love that soul through me. And may I humbly do the part to win that soul for thee. Help me. Help these people. Help us not to shrug this off and forget about it, but may it burn within our soul. I've got family members that's going to be left behind, and I've not warned them faithfully. Help us. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, amen, amen. You're dismissed.